Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm Greg Williams, and today is another wonderful Family Foundation Friday with our guest, Executive Director David Walls. David, thanks for joining us.
Greg, good to be with you.
Now, as always, you can hear these if you're not listening on WJMM 99.1 FM, Central Kentucky Christian Radio. You can find them at WJMM.com in podcast format. Go to the podcast tab, click on Love and Lordship links, and you'll find today and the previous 2 days. Or go to loveandlordship.com, and you can find these and many others on our Vimeo page, our Podbean page, and right there you can. It says read, listen, and watch. So pretty easy to understand. Click on that, and you'll find many more things that I hope will encourage you, challenge you, and either way will bless you. Now, David, last week we kind of closed by teasing a little bit. We were talking a bit about this gender dysphoria issue. We want to call it what it actually is scientifically and has been known for years. Riley Gaines continues to be a strong, humble, bold voice. Yes. And then we have a Dylan Mulvaney on the other side who's getting a lot of attention, but also people are finding out this doesn't work that well.
Updates there? Well, you know, it's just been interesting. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but it's been interesting to see a number of major U.S. corporations that we all know, Nike, yeah. Bud Light and others that have, you know, had signed
up. We don't know
up.
Them personally.
No, don't know them, know of them.
Yeah. And some may, that's okay. That's okay.
That have signed on this Dylan Mulvaney, a biological male who now, quote unquote, identifies as a female as a spokesperson for their yeah. brands. And, you know, it's been interesting to see, particularly as it relates to Bud Light, and this has happened over the last few weeks, just really the uproar from their customer base and others saying, you know, this isn't, we don't appreciate this kind of woke, radical gender ideology and what this all represents, essentially being pushed on us. And you've seen really, I think you had looked up and shared, I mean, they have taken a financial hit because of this and have seemed to backtrack a little bit.
Yes. They have.
But this is just, another reminder that, you know, every decision that we make, and I'm not a big fan of going around saying boycott everyone that disagrees with you, because the world in which we live, there is a place for Christians and believers to think through the dollars that they're spending and what those companies are doing and using to promote those dollars. And unfortunately, we're continuing to see major U.S. corporations, whether that be Disney, whether that be others, specifically using their influence and their dollars to promote a harmful worldview and ideology, but certainly encouraged from time to time when we see folks rise up and say, look, this isn't what we're looking for when we're making these kinds of decisions.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, we can talk to those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe in these organizations, and say, hey, there's a thing here. We've talked about this before, fear of God versus fear of man.
Right.
And then you're going, well, you're messing with my livelihood and stuff. But your point is that I think we do have to be salt and light. It's the same thing the Family Foundation does when they're working with policy and legislation. Yeah. We've got to stand on that truth, even if it costs us.
Yeah.
And that's what we're finding with the modern day media and social media. And it may get worse before it gets better, but that's what the Bible says is going to happen anyway, right?
That's right.
So we hang in there, and we know that we're on the right side and the winning side, as we could say, but we want to do it graciously because we want others to know Christ more than anything else. We teased that, so we wanted to give you a little bit of a insight. If you'd not heard that, I don't know how you couldn't have heard that, because there's been a lot going on. But I know there's a couple other things that are fresh with the Family Foundation that you've got out. Let's start with the scorecard, the legislative scorecard. Explain what that is and how folks can positively read that and use it.
Yeah, you know, we're really excited. This is our legislative scorecard, what we're calling the Kentucky Family Legislative Scorecard. We launched that last year for the very first time, and we just launched our newest edition after the 2023.
And everybody's happy, right?
Well, a lot of folks are.
Yes.
But look, what is a legislative scorecard? Just in case you're not familiar, what we have done is gone through and analyzed every vote, whether that be on a full bill, whether that be some key votes that happened on amendments. Mm-hmm. We looked at sponsorships, whether members sponsored bills, whether they were the lead sponsor on priority pro-family bills or whether they were the lead sponsor on negative bills.
Not every bill.
Right.
Every bill that
bills related to the mission of the Family Foundation. Yes, right. And as you and I talked about a lot of those bills in the weeks previous, but this would include all the votes that happen on SB 150 mm-hmm. and accompanying bills, protecting our children from the so-called sex change operations, protecting parental rights in the context of education. We also scored votes on the sports betting and the gambling issue.
Right.
Medical marijuana and several other bills that impact families, impact family values. Yeah. And so we compile that all together, and then we try to be as fair and accurate as possible, and we try to include as much legislative activity as possible, because at the end of the day, these are all opportunities that our elected officials have to take stands on different issues. And we're talking about the laws of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. These are serious, weighty decisions that are being made.
Yes.
And so what we do is we compile all that, and then folks get a percentage grade based on how they voted in other activities. And folks can go and view that resource at our website at kentuckyfamily.org/scorecard, or we've got it linked right on the front page. We've got a House scorecard. We've got a Senate scorecard on the House side. There was 17 different votes that were included. On the Senate side, there was 12 different votes, and then a number of bill sponsorships. And I encourage folks to go to our website. If you're not sure who your legislator are, we've got a link there. You can look them up. You can pull up the interactive spreadsheet and then search for your member, and you can kind of follow along and see how they voted. And really, this is just an opportunity that we have to educate voters and those who are represented by our members in the General Assembly to see how they voted and to encourage them and thank them for those that took good votes and for others to hold accountable.
To call them on it. Yes. Yeah.
So it's an important resource. We have gotten tremendous encouraging feedback from our supporters that they really like being able to kind of see a full lineup of how legislators voted on these core issues. And then we also use it as an opportunity to recognize some of the legislators that kind of went above and beyond. We have a very thorough scorecard, and we recognize those that scored 90% or above as faith and family, as Kentucky family champions.
Yes.
And that indication is on the scorecard as well.
Right. And something that I was not fully aware of, because in working with the Family Foundation in previous years, I did a lot of marriage family, not necessarily policy, even though there was a couple of things there. But what I was not aware of is that it takes the whole the whole number of votes that a person will do, even if they started off on our side and then didn't follow through on our side, being family, marriage family side, or maybe they started out, weren't on the side of the Family Foundation, and that's what we're scoring, right? That's what you all are scoring.
Yeah.
And then maybe ended up there. But explain just a little more how that happened, like with maybe the gambling and the medical marijuana bills that people just didn't step up at the end. What did that look like?
Yeah, so there was a couple of, the last 2 days of the session, the veto override days had several key votes. So the second to last day was the final votes from both the House and the Senate to override the governor's veto of SB 150, mm-hmm. which we spent a lot of time talking about, Greg. And then the last day, we had votes, from our perspective, unfortunate votes to legalize so-called medical marijuana and to do a very large expansion of predatory gambling via sports betting.
Right.
And so those final votes happen, and those are recorded in our scorecard. Right. But there was also some interesting amendment votes. So there was members on both of those bills that attempted to offer amendments to try to at least improve some of the concerning parts in both of those bills.
Yes.
It was unfortunate that neither of those amendments was passed.
And how does that happen? Because that's what ends up on the
scorecard,
right?
So we included those as well, and both of those votes required a threshold of more than 50 to at that stage to essentially to have an opportunity to amend, and neither of those amendments got that threshold. And so we thought it was very important and revealing to include those votes. So like I said, we not to get too far down the weeds,
right.
But we try to the best of our ability, you know, in our team that was at the Capitol lot following and tracking these issues to include all the votes, all the opportunities yes. that members had to advocate or non-votes,
case, right?
In some cases, right. non-votes. And look, at the end of the day, we put this scorecard out, but it's not about whether you were with the Family Foundation or not. These are God-honoring public policy positions that, yes. that we're advocating for. And there was important bills, important progress that was made. In a couple of instances, some unfortunate bills that passed that were signed by the governor. And we just want to educate Kentuckians because we firmly believe that an educated and equipped Kentuckians will continue to lead to more God-honoring public policy and our elected officials
governance.
Respond yes. when who their representative is equipped.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
right.
you've got another thing that's just coming out too that helps with that as well, the Family Foundation Voter Guide. Talk to our listeners about that.
Yeah, no, and look forward to maybe talking a little bit about this in the coming weeks,
yes.
but there's a
yes.
primary election coming up right. on May 16th. And if folks go to a voter guide website that we help put together, votekentucky.us,
yes.
that's votekentucky, spelled out, .us, you can get access to the iVoter Guide that we help produce in partnership with iVoter Guide, which is a Christian voter guide organization that just does great work. And so there's important, this is essentially... This election cycle, the governor is up. Essentially,
yes.
the constitutional statewide offices are up. So the yes. voter guide covers contested races in the primary election. So mm-hmm. you can get information on who's running for governor. There's multiple candidates, secretary of state, auditor, treasurer, yeah. Commissioner of Agriculture. And then there's also a special election in Senate District 28. To fill a seat that was vacated, and so we've got information on all the candidates okay. running in yeah. that race yeah. as well. So
now you don't. This is not an endorsement.
This is not
Family
endorsement.
Foundation does not endorse
this is
anyone
not endorsement.
In this, right?
This is a nonpartisan, church-friendly voter
yes.
guide.
For any of them that will
folks
respond.
Can promote. Folks can promote it, and just encourage their congregations to go to votekentucky.us right. and learn more information. As we like yeah. to say, get informed. Pray, and then make sure you get out and vote.
Yeah, yeah. That's good, David. I wanted people to understand
yeah.
that. And as you said, we're going to touch on that a little bit more
yeah.
Over the next couple of weeks coming up to the election day,
yeah.
primary election. So appreciate you being with us again. Thanks again to you listeners who have joined us and have contacted us. And appreciate I heard some people the other day talking about it when I was at the Central Kentucky Right to Life Breakfast. And
okay.
Michael Johnson, you're
yeah.
One of the workers here, did a great job. But they were talking about, hey, I'm hearing you on radio. And I know a lot of it was with what we're doing on Fridays and
yeah.
Hopefully some other things. So join us again next Monday as I pick back up with our continuing series on our identity in Christ. We want to know who we are so we can love who we are, fulfilling the second greatest command to love others as we love ourselves. So be sure to invite family, friends, loved ones, and even your enemies to join us as we all need to hear this message. And we will be back again next Friday for another fabulous Family Foundation Friday. I usually get that right out, but I stumbled a little bit there. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ. Now stay tuned for Bill Reeser and Encounter immediately following. And at 12:45, check out my good friend, Greg Horn on Hope is Here. David, thank you again for joining us. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.